gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Yes, but that time means it is Safety Talk on KWH. Craig Montana being joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan for the DPS in studio today, answering your questions about all the roadways, the highways, byways, backways, whatever it is that you have questions, he has answers, because Safety Talk is all about you and your safety and informing you, giving you the knowledge that you need, because as always, you know, sometimes and most of the time, we always learn something new, or we know a little bit about something enough to get us in trouble, right?
You educate me every time I come on.
Don't give me that now. But you know, a lot of us, we know laws, but we just know a little bit of the laws. We don't know the whole thing. And either it's useful for us, or we can get in trouble by not knowing the whole thing. So that's why you're here.
Right.
It's the, you know, the 100% of the information we need.
Well, I try to make a stab at it.
So. You do a good job, man. You got enough paperwork over there that you've been.
Well,
it had to be.
I don't know. It's in here somewhere. If the question that somebody's got, it's in here somewhere.
I know you've probably been keeping this since you were a rookie trooper. I mean, so this has been here for a while.
Well, yeah, it's some of it. I don't know, but you got to keep up with the changes. I mean, things.
Yeah.
Things have changed a lot since I first started this job.
Oh, yeah? But, I can only imagine.
We certainly got more cars on the road.
That I know. It seems like every day you're seeing more cars out there.
So you were mentioning rain in the area. Obviously, mm-hmm. It's been a while now.
Yep.
Didn't we set a record like 48, 49 days? I don't know about y'all down here, but the Waco news was saying
we had a lot of rain.
Y'all have had rain?
Earlier this year, we had a lot of rain.
Well, I'm just saying the last 48, 49 days, Waco News was saying we were breaking a cycle, mm-hmm. so many days without rain. So I didn't know if that went down this way or.
Yeah, we haven't had rain since, I don't want to say anything to get me in trouble here, but I want to say at least June.
So they were sent up there. They broke a record the other day. So, mm-hmm. So what I was getting at is the roads now, they've been hot, no rain. So when we do get some rain, they're going to be pretty slick.
Yeah.
So,
especially if you get just a little bit of rain, not a big downpour.
Right. And, you know, that's unsafe speed is year in, year out, our number one cause of accidents that we have in the state. And that's where rain has a part to do with that is people need to slow down and realize the road's not the same when it's dry versus mm-hmm. space when you get a road now with some moisture on it with it's kind of a film buildup, I guess, oil-based.
I can only say, you know, just, you know, rubber and the oil and everything else that's from our vehicles is just sitting on the top of them roads.
So that's just the main thing. Well, today's program is sponsored by Max Donuts. I have a $10 certificate here. I guess you can use it any way you want it.
I win.
You win?
I win.
You know, the kolaches are not bad. I'm just putting it out there. Not that I know.
Donuts ain't bad.
I know I'm not supposed to go in there, place. But, man. So, anyway, as a state, we're up to 1,982 fatality crashes in Texas through July. 283 a month, 9.4 a day is what we're averaging. So, again, we're going to be in that, and we've been averaging 3290 the last 5 years. If you combine some higher, some lower, this is somewhere going to be around 3396, which is going to be a little lower than 2014 if we stay on this current rate, but a little higher. Actually, going to be a little lower than 2013 also. So, you know, again, we keep on adding people to the state. If you listen to Austin, I think their fatality rate is highest it's ever been over in Austin, Texas.
Well, they got all those toll roads out there in Austin.
Do people use them?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They got all the toll roads, and everybody's on those feeder roads off the side using back roads and stuff like that instead of using the toll roads.
I personally just think they need to relook at what they're charging. And I think the ideal for these toll roads, especially if you got traffic that's coming through, that's, you know, they're just from point A to point B, going down South Texas or whatever it may be, your commercial trucks, I think they need a relook and double check where they will entice truckers to use them tow roads more and keep them off downtown I-35 because there's a, you know, I mean, like I say, it's, you have a wreck over there. It's, you're, they were saying yesterday morning with that accident that it's going to be backed up two or three hours. So you're still trying to get to work.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just sitting there dead still.
So I've got some buddies that live in Austin. They said just, and this, not just that, but just daily, like Mopac is just, it's a disaster over there.
So, well, we're fixing to go back to school, it looks like. So I guess I'm going to gear my trivia question to school buses. And so I thought I'd talk a little bit about school, the drivers of school bus. Hopefully by now the ISD was, first of all, able to go out and hire good quality drivers for the school bus. I mean, if you think about it, that's an important job to have. I mean, a lot of people place their kids in your hands to get them from point A to point B, home safely and everything else. So I don't know what that job pays, but they ought to, whatever amount that is, they, I mean, like I say, they got a big responsibility. Not everybody can do that job, by the way, so I don't think I could be honest with you. And so hopefully by now they've figured out the routes, and sometimes that stays a little bit the same each year, but sometimes they do move based on where the kids are being picked up at and all that. So a couple of things I like to point out on Hope ISD's pay attention to where they have these bus routes, and certainly you don't want to have a stop where, you know, it's over a hill or around a curve. Where you want to make it a stop where even if a kid has to walk a little bit down the road, especially if there's several houses in the area, try to find a spot, a kind of happy medium for all the kids in the area to meet at a safe spot, which where traffic can see the bus for a good ways so they can adjust their speed and come to a stop if they need to. So staying out of the curves and all over a hill is probably the most, one of the most important thing you do. Another thing about a school bus driver, what I like to use the improved shoulder if you get the opportunity, if you have one. It just gives, if a car makes a mistake, now he's got another lane, the main lane to have an avenue. Certainly, the reason I like that, because when you let a kid off or get on a kid on, if you're on the edge of the shoulder, that's probably a good safe place to be, away from opposite side of the traffic, right on the edge of the roadway, still letting somebody off in the middle of the roadway. They're not going to stop. They use the improved shoulder to go around. Now you're letting a kid off right in front of a path of a vehicle that wasn't paying attention. So I think if it's available, use that improved shoulder. The law allows a vehicle to come to a stop on an improved shoulder, and a school bus certainly is coming to a stop. And I guess my trivia question today is, what is the distance that a school bus is required to activate its yellow lights prior to stopping is the question for the day. And that's going to be a $10 Max Donuts gift certificate. So appreciate them sponsoring our program today, but that is the trivia question. What is the distance that a school bus activates its yellow lights prior to coming to stop and then activating the red lights on the bus?
All right. Our number, 979-836-9937, 836-9937 this morning for that. And it looks like we've got somebody here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today. Good morning, Safety Talk. Well, okay. We had somebody. Try again. Try back. Could be just a glitch in the phone system.
Another thing I think most people need to be aware of about school buses is that if they have a commercial inspection on the bus, then they're allowed to do the 60 miles an hour. If they do not have the commercial inspection, then their top speed is 50.
Really?
Yes. So, wow. And I'll get into impeding, I mean, can that lead into impeding traffic? Well, yeah, it can. especially when everybody else may be wanting to do 70. So that's something else I'll talk about. Got another call?
We do. Good morning on Safety Talk today.
Good morning. Is the distance 500 feet?
No, ma'am.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for the call, though. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
Oh.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, you see it every now and then. I have a proposal to change this up if they ever call me and ask me my proposal, but I don't think they'll do that.
1-800 call Jimmy.
Yeah,
I
got to
answer everything.
Yeah, well, I've got to, you know, that never, you know, they say never gripe if you don't have a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that, you know, if you think about the 55 and then we went to 70, one of the things that happened was that truckers were still held at 55 for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why they got bumped up to 70, even though they knew it took a trucker longer to stop than a car did, that they found out they were adding more hazard to the roadways, them going at a slower speed, than worried about if they could come to a stop. So that's when they put everybody at the same speed. And that kind of can play into a school bus on its speed. So depending where they're at, I guess. Got another call?
We do.
Right.
Good morning. Safety Talk today.
Good morning. I got a question. We were sitting around arguing about it, or not arguing, talking about it, see who knew the most about what. on the moped.
That's kind of something like me and you do.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. And we was talking like on the mopeds and stuff. Do you have to have a valid driver's license? And then I thought I heard something about the bicycles with the motors on them. And
Do
they pass laws for those too? Or what is the criteria? You got to have a license for all of them or what?
Not all of them. Your moped requires a Class M endorsement. Now these electric bikes, little engines on them, whatever, they're treated like a bicycle because they can only go so fast. But your mopeds are required to have a Class M endorsement on it.
And what is a Class M endorsement?
It's like a motorcycle endorsement.
So you actually have to take a motorcycle class?
Yeah, it's a license. You have a driver license with an endorsement on it where you can operate a motor vehicle or a motorcycle or a moped.
So I can start off there, then I can go ahead and buy me a Can-Am Spider after that, right?
A what?
A bigger motorcycle. Hey. A lot bigger engine.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate the information. That settles all of it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's the trouble about them bets. I don't never see. Yeah, somebody wins, somebody loses, but I'm usually in the middle on that.
Yeah, that's it. So if you're going to, you know, I know motorcycles, you have to go and actually take a driving test with the motorcycle, right?
Yes.
At the DPS. If you have to get a moped, you got to take a moped.
Well, now they have their certificate now, so they kind of helped out the people at the DL office. You know, now you have to have that endorsement. You get the motorcycle, you have to go through the training before you actually go apply for the license.
Oh, okay.
You can't just walk up and say, I want a motorcycle license. There's a certificate, a class that you actually have to take to get that, and then you present that to the driver license people, that, and it shows that you've already shown that you show the capabilities of operating that motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be done first.
So, but even, you know, you got a moped, you got to go take a moped with you to take that training and everything else.
Well, under this new program, I think that's what the certificate shows, is that you've already shown that. So
okay.
I think it's the written test, whatever they offer after that. They've kind of made it where it's easier for the clerk. You know, before you had to bring your motorcycle, bring another car for the person observing to follow you and all that. I don't think they have to do that anymore.
Okay.
They cut that out with that, that certificate.
That always kind of confusing because you're trying to get a motorcycle license. How do you get your motorcycle there in the first place?
Right, right.
So you got to have a good buddy, I guess. But if they do that, you know, other way around, make things a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk.
Good morning. I think I have an answer.
All right.
65 feet.
Ooh, I don't know where. No, it's not 65. Now, how'd you come up with 65?
It's when the school bus stops. You have to be 65 feet away.
No, that's not what we're asking. there's a time that a school bus will activate its yellow lights, letting people know that it's fixed and come to a stop to pick up or let off kids. What is that distance that they were supposed to activate the yellow lights? That's the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably about
50
feet.
About what?
I said it's probably about 50 feet.
No, sir.
Nope, not it.
Not it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, how far, you know, how long do they have to have?
I mean, obviously, if you think about it, and this is the way I look at it, and this is why I wanted to bring it up. You know, if you're traveling, if you're on a highway, you're doing 70 miles an hour, 102 feet per second, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you come up to a school bus and you just can't throw your reds on. I mean, you're going to have people slamming on brakes and everything else. Now, when them yellow ones come on, because when I give you the distance, when we figure out this distance I'm talking about, I would think looking at our speeds now, I would like to see a little bit more than what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's only to give people more notice that, hey, you know, give them more time to stop.
We're out to stop in a minute. Yeah. All right. You got another phone call. Good morning. I'm Safety Talk today.
I'm steady listening to you guys, and I thought I had it. So it's not 20 feet then.
No, it's not 20 feet.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to get there's enough numbers out there. We'll get it. We're going to find it out today.
Right.
And here we go. We got it going. Good morning. Nope. They got scared, I guess. 979-836-9937 this morning, 836-9937. Of course, emails, I've got my emails open here, mail, M-A-I-L at KWHI.com. We'll take it that way as well. Or if you have questions that way, whatever you want to do, we'll get it both ways today. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk.
150 feet.
No.
No. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You know, the way you said that,
incorrect.
He felt pretty confident.
I think they're all confident.
Yeah.
Good morning, KWHI.
Is it 100 yards?
Ooh, which is what? 300 feet?
Right.
Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Anyway,
oh, man.
Carry the two. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Here we go. Good morning. Safety Talk today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had the answer. Maybe I was going to say 300 feet.
No, ma'am.
That's not it. Thank you, though. All right. Right along, 979-836-9937 or mail, mail at kwhi.com. And we got another one, too. Making it easy on them today. Good morning. Safety Talk.
Hi. Is it 1,000 feet?
Ooh, I wish. No, it's not.
There we go.
I wish he was right, though.
Yep.
I'm going to go into this.
1,000 feet. Wow, that's a lot. That's a long ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Long ways.
Depends how fast you're going.
Yeah, this is true. All right. Good morning. Safety Talk.
Yes, sir. I got an answer.
Go ahead.
500 feet.
No.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We continue right along here, 979-836-9937. Look for our answer today. How far do they have to turn on the yellow lights before they can stop and turn the reds?
Yeah, I think it's across not only Texas, U.S.
Is it?
You know, they have certain school bus standards and stuff that they try to keep it all, you know, for a lot of people, a lot of states. So what else?
Another phone call.
Okay.
Good morning, KWHI.
Yes, 400 feet.
No.
No. All right, thank you.
I've had some callers too low and have had some callers too high.
All right, so somewhere in between what we've had so far.
So I was talking about this speed of these school buses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's a suggestion. You see some schools actually do this. They get a commercial bus, and they're on a long trip to, say, it's either the volleyball team or football team. That's why you see a lot of them get to commercial on long trips, because of the speed limits that are limited to on the school buses. Got another call?
Yes, so we do.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, KWHI.
300.
No, sir.
No, sir.
No, I was not. All right. Thanks for the call. All right.
So anyway, so what if we came up? Do you think a school bus if I said let a school bus do just going down a road doing 65 or 70, do you think a school bus is safe enough to do that speed?
No.
Okay. Why do you say that? Because I've already said if you get a commercial inspection, and let me ask you this question. What is a commercial inspection that you have one and you don't have one? What actually changes on the school bus?
Nothing.
Nothing? Oh? So, again, where I'm getting at, would people appreciate, the other motoring people appreciate that, and coaches included on this? Because I've been on, I have actually done some security with some ISDs and been on these yellow dogs. Mm-hmm. And when they know they're backing up traffic, and I can tell you, the school bus driver, or whether it be a coach or whoever, they tend to fudge a little bit because they just know they're just, you know, with 70-mile-an-hour traffic. So on these field trips, should they consider a different speed for people on field trips on a yellow dog versus them having a load of kids dropping them on and off? Should there be a little bit higher speed that they can go?
You're still going to have a load of kids no matter which way you go.
But if you think about the type of crashes that school bus has year in, year out, normally the crashes that I hear and see are when they're loading and unloading kids, is when the crashes where a kid steps out in front of a vehicle or the bus gets here from the rear because somebody's not paying attention and they strike the bus from the rear. I don't typically see school bus crashes where they're just going down the road, whatever. They just tend to be, like I say, stopping and unloading.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hold that thought real quick in the phone call here. Good morning. Safety talk today.
Good morning. Is it 350 feet?
No, sir.
What is it like, Armadillo Hollow?
Oh, except we're not playing for, $1,000 today. But, you know, 10 bucks of donuts make anybody happy.
Yeah. They don't have to be donuts. I mean, they got some kolaches. They got all kinds.
Well, I know they got it.
For the donut. You're going for.
I don't want to say anything. Good morning, KWHI.
Hey, is it 20 feet or more?
20 feet or more. Well, that's a big blanket. No, we're looking for a certain distance.
Yeah, a specific number. All right, thank you.
Yeah, 20 feet, you got to think about that. 20 feet is nothing.
No, especially if you're going 50 miles an hour. It's nothing. Good morning, KWHI.
Yes, sir. 150 feet?
No, sir.
No, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right.
So, but anyway, that was my deal. For everybody involved, that again on these field trips, would it be safer for the bus to be allowed to say do 65 on these field trips? They may be a little bit lower than the 70, but I say when you talk about the other traffic around it, whatever, I know it just puts these school buses, and sometimes they don't have a shoulder to use to allow that traffic so they can move over to allow traffic to go by, So in a lot of ways, you're kind of hindering, impeding traffic.
I know whenever I was in school, you know, I went to Somerville, and when we played away games, we went to small towns, too. And that's all. It was two-lane roads.
Right.
I mean, you had a left lane and a coming and going lane. That's it. That's all. You know, there's hardly any shoulders. And so that, you know, what it was, that's what you did every week. So I understand that. Then we got another phone call here. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Hello?
Hello?
Less than 200 feet.
What'd she say?
What? Say one more time?
Not less than 200 feet.
She's absolutely correct.
Not less than 200 feet.
Not less than 200 feet.
All right. There we go. We got a winner today. Congratulations. We will hang on the line for a minute, because we got to take a break anyway.
Right.
So we're going to get you information when we get off the air here. So just hang with me for just a moment. We'll get you in just a moment, okay? And there we go. Not less than 200 feet. Do you want to expand on that real quick, Corporal Morgan?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's just what they've come up with. That not less to, like, you know, using your signal is 100, not less than 100 feet. But I don't know how they come up with the 200. But so what it does for you is when you see them lights come on, you know within about 200 feet that bus is fixing to make a stop. So it kind of gives you a pretty good idea that how far they're going to go down the road. Now, can they go a little bit farther than 200 activate? Yeah, but they have to, as long as within 200 feet, the yellow lights have to be on. They're supposed to be on. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 9:31, back with more Safety Talk. I'm going to be corporate Jimmy Morgan. Again, phone calls if you have questions, 979-836-9937, or send us an email, mail, M-A-I-L at KWHI.com. Back right after this.
Want to keep your beautiful smile? Smile Keepers General Dentistry for Kids and Adults is now open in Brenham in the new shopping center between Golden Imperial Restaurant and Papa John's Pizza. Dr. Sherma at Smile Keepers offers laughing gas to make your visit more comfortable. And there are TVs in each operating and in the play area for kids. New patient exams start at $30 and extractions are as low as $150. Plus, they offer same-day emergency appointments. Just call Smile Keepers at 979-830-5022 to schedule an appointment. Start your day with great smiles. Smile Keepers accepts Medicaid, CHIP, most PPO insurance. Plus, they offer low cash prices and financing is also available. Dare to compare. You'll find Smile Keepers' new state-of-the-art facility the place you want to go to keep that beautiful smile. Smile Keepers, 224 Highway 290 West in Brenham. Call 979-830-5022 for an appointment. That number again is 979-830-5022 for Smile Keepers. Se habla Espanol.
Rattlers Convenience Stores in Brenham and Chapel Hill are proud to bring you the touchdown quarter during the Cubs and Bucks football games aired on KWHI. Visit Rattlers on Highway 105 on Bluebell Road or in Chapel Hill to register in the drawing. If your name is drawn and our team makes a touchdown, you win a $20 gift card. If there's no winner, the prize will increase by $20 until somebody wins. Your first chance to win is during the Bucks game on Saturday, August 22nd, so sign up today at Rattlers in Brenham and Chapel Hill. Rattlers, friendly, clean, at Texan.
St. Stanislaus Catholic Church in Chapel Hill invites you to come spend Labor Day Sunday, September 6th with them during their 78th annual Homecoming Festival and Bazaar. They're planning a super day starting with a barbecue lunch catered by Chapel Hill Bakery and Deli from 10:30 till 1:30. Other variety of foods and drinks available after 2 include snow cones, sodas, and beer. There will be all kinds of games opening at noon, including a grocery, toy, cake, ham, grandma's kolaches, Target the Card booths, and fun and games for the kids. A grand auction will be held from 2 till 4 with lots of great items to bid on. Bingo starts at 2:30 with cash prizes. Free entertainment begins at 5 featuring Texas Remedy and Daniel and the Country Boys. If you'd like some merriment on Labor Day Sunday, go out and enjoy the traditional bazaar and festival at St. Stanislaus Catholic Church for a day full of good old-fashioned fun. That's Sunday, September 6th on the church grounds in Chapel Hill. For more information, call 979-836-3030. Bingo license number 1746152420.
My RE/MAX agent has the experience to get the job done in today's complicated real estate market.
My RE/MAX agent helped me find the perfect, affordable home. My RE/MAX agent knows this community because he's part of it.
My RE/MAX agent helped me avoid foreclosure and protect my credit score.
My RE/MAX agent is somebody I know I can count on.
Call 251-7500 for the RE/MAX Advantage in Brenham.
RE/MAX. Outstanding agents, outstanding results.
RE/MAX, now open in Brenham at 110 East Alamo.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist because I want to hold on to every moment. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Wow, that's my son on Boogie Bond. Surfing an endless wave? Check. My daughter cannot believe how loud I screamed as we rushed up and down the hills of the water coaster. Getting our adrenaline pumping? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking in two. An estimated savings of $100? Check. At the end of our day, we've all got special moments to hold on to. So find yours at Schlitterbahn. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely. Check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
It's the hottest, coolest time in Texas. We're going to Schlitterbahn.
And welcome back once again to Safety Talk on KWHI. Craig Montana joined by Corporal Jimmy Morgan, DPS, answering your questions. And Presley Gray, a while ago, our winner of the gift certificate for Max's Donuts. Congratulations to Presley this morning, who, like all kids nowadays, knows what Google is. Yeah. Oh, sorry. There we go. Turn you on.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, young kid like that. I'm thinking, all right, let me just find out where she got her at. Yeah, Google.
Google. She's honest about it.
Yeah.
But, so, you know.
But. Yeah, well, that's good that she's listening, right?
That's well, she was listening.
She may be telling that school bus driver, hey, Trooper Morgan said you need to have that yellow light
see,
on.
See, you're reaching the broadest spectrum of listeners. Young to old.
And the reason I point, so let's finish up on the school bus.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, then the question comes, all right, we talked about where to stop, how to stop, and all that good stuff. So as motors, the motor's responsibility is what? It's knowing when they have to come to a stop, and then so you got divided highway by pavement, and then you got divided highway by barricade or grass. So on pavement, if there's pavement only like a left turn lane, that's the only thing that separates you. Both sides of the highway's got to stop. So on grass or like a barrier, or wall barrier, or whatever, concrete barrier, fence barrier, whatever it may be, then on the other side of the traffic would not have to stop. And the reason you really got to have this down, because if you do get stopped and cited on this, the fine starts at $500, and it goes up to $1,250. So they're pretty serious about it.
Well, they should be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is children.
Right. Well, and that's one.
And not saying anything about, you know, thinking kids are listening, but, you know, kids, you know, sometimes aren't the brightest when it comes to stuff like that, about, you know, looking about, you know, where they are and where they're going, or, you know, stopping to make sure. And because I have kids, and I know they just don't do it all the time.
Right.
And so it's up, you know, it's, you know, people in vehicles should be more responsible about it. So hopefully that they are.
And I was double checking on that moped. A restricted class M is required to operate that moped. So, yeah, you got to have a class M endorsement on that moped.
All right. We got a phone call real quick. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Good morning. Got a couple of questions. What is the width of these lanes now? Where they doing construction on the freeway and they got them closed in. I observed something. Car was trying to pass, and, you know, 18-wheelers coming down there, and you got very, very little room between each shoulder of the concrete barriers for the driver in the middle. Well, all three lanes. What is the width?
You're asking me what is the maximum width of a lane, or the least a lane can be built?
Well, yeah, I guess both would be.
I'm going to give you the same answer for. I'm going to give you the answer for both lengths. I really don't know. I've seen. I think TxDOT is probably going to be the person to answer that question. I do know, depending, there probably is a, you know, you can make them. I mean, the wider they are, the better they are to me. But that's certainly on when they get congestion. And that you'll start seeing them shrink a little bit more to add another lane or whatever. I would say, if I was guessing, no less than 8 foot on width, because the vehicle is about 6 foot. That's just a motor vehicle. And you start getting tractors, trailers, and stuff like that. That gets pretty tight. But I would say TxDOT, if I tell you what, I'll visit with them. I'll write that down, and I'll visit with our next program. I'll visit with TxDOT, and I'll see what their criteria is on lane. Did you have a certain question about that, or you just noticed there was a difference on some of the widths?
Well, no. You know, like I say, observing when you get an 18-wheeler on one side like that, and how close they be to each one of those barricades.
Right. Yeah, like I say, they have some specs, how wide they make them or how narrow they can make them. I hate to put a number out there and not be sure about it. So let me visit with TxDOT, and I'll bring that up on my next program.
Okay, now, here's a $64,000 question.
Well,
you remember that song, "As a Texas Up On You"?
Yeah. Huh?
And y'all can't get away. What do you... On teaching safety,
yes.
When an officer is given a ticket in his room on the right-hand shoulder, and he's next to the guardrail giving a ticket, And that's right there. I observed that Sunday in Waller.
Okay. So you're saying that there was a shoulder in the area, but where the officer, was it a trooper?
No, this was local.
Okay. So an officer had somebody stopped instead of them. You say the place where they had them stopped at was not a safe place. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's next to the guardrail on the end.
Well, I can answer that. 64,000. By the way, where are you going to be at when I get off? I can answer that one.
As a Texas old boy.
Here's the deal, and about working traffic, an officer. It's very important the officer knows all the laws and everything else and officer safety, but I had to testify in court one day where an attorney asked me, why did you follow my client so far down the road? I said, well, if you look at the video, I was in a construction zone, and I waited to get out of the construction zone to activate my lights where I can get completely off the roadway and not be a hindrance and people in the construction zone and in the people working in that. So you do, as an officer, have to think about not only what you're stopping somebody for, but you got to figure out where you're going to stop that person and is it a safe place. Now, if somebody doesn't stop where you want them to, say they stop next to a guardrail, but you can see another 50 foot up the road, they can actually go past that and move over, that's when you would get on your mic and say, could you move up another past the guardrail and off the road? So he could do that, and that's probably what he probably should have done. But it's a judgment where the officer is, whether he thinks it's safe where he's got him stopped at. But I would personally use the guardrail to my benefit as a protection behind me, and I would have that vehicle move up, especially if it's just right up the road. And have that vehicle pull off a little bit farther. But that's a great view. It's officer safety. And not only the officer, well, it's the safety also of the motorist.
Yeah, but my better judgment would have been to get as far to that right-hand shoulder
sure.
as I could possibly.
Yes, that's correct.
Instead of being next to that guardrail, because that's somewhere I don't want to next to concrete.
I would say that would, each officer, I don't know what training program they go through. Each agency is kind of different and all that. But that's one of the things that as a trooper that we learn, when we go through our training program, was what I'm talking about. Not only stopping somebody, but where you have them stopped at. And I think all that has come into play. So, You may have to follow somebody a little bit longer and then activate your lights to actually get them pulled over. But I think that is a great point to make, is you want everybody to be safe. And you want the traffic that is going by, you want them to be able to be safe as they pass you. So I think you're helping everybody out by being smart about where you pull somebody over at.
I've been observing a lot of local officers. What they'll do, they'll hide up under the hill, just as you're topping next to the guardrail with the radar. So when they come out, they just go down there. The person's already in that lane zipping.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, officer.
Yes, sir.
Have a good day.
All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Man, you're on the money.
I got 64,000 I didn't have before I woke up.
There you go. I like that.
Oh, man. So,
all right. Were we done with the buses?
Yeah, I think I'm done with the fines. Everybody's aware. So I think we covered buses so far.
Okay.
If there's something comes up as the school starts up and people have questions about all this, we'll certainly entertain their questions. Okay. As it goes. So.
All right, because we just had an email question come in. I didn't want to switch gears unless we had everything finished there. Want to know today, what is the laws or regulations on large trailers hauling hay or equipment with farm tags, weight, distance, those type of things? Anything you know about hauling? That stuff.
Let's see if I can break this down. One thing to remember when Governor Perry was our governor, and we went through the drought of 2011. The $10 permit, which allowed these people to go up and down the highways with these round bales, up to 112 foot, 144 inches.
Mm-hmm.
That permit got waived during the drought. So this past year, we certainly, we got a couple of things changed. We got a new governor, and then we also got rain. So
got a lot of rain,
I can't find where Governor Abbott has extended the waiver on the permit, $10 permit from, that you would have to get to do the round cylinder bales. That's where farmers, they get an exemption, but they have to have the permit to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first of all, you got to have that exemption, that permit to do the round cylinder bales. Now, I was sitting, and you got to have farm registration, obviously, on this transfer of hay. Now, on that, on farmers get exemptions. There's several classifications that get CDL exemptions. One is your military, your firefighters, recreational vehicles, and your farmers get these exemptions. And one of the things, for example, I was sitting there, and we call it the round table. I was sitting around the round table the other day, and I was listening. You know, in Texas, things that you do are bigger and better, right? I mean,
whatever.
Yeah, it's what I'm saying. So a gentleman was sitting there. He was coming from a sale, and he was telling me that he loaded up 48 head of cattle, right?
Okay.
So, and I don't know where we're at as far as the weight, but I was listening to him, and I was trying to give him some credit, say, average per weight. And I did an average per weight of 700 and say 50 pounds. Some cattle weighing more,
mm-hmm.
some cattle weighing less.
Yeah.
But say average 750, and I got them up to about 30-something thousand pounds just on the weight. Now, when you're running these farm tags, you get exemptions on certain things, and as long as you stay within 150 square miles. But once you exceed that 48,000 total weight, that's truck, tractor, and the cargo, then you fall into DOT guidelines. So mm-hmm. I was telling him, I said, now look, I've been listening to you this morning. I said, I don't know what your truck and trailer weighs, but I've got you owing to 30-something thousand pounds. I said, so I'm thinking, Jimbo's thinking you were overweight that day. He said, I got your coffee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to answer this question, that's basically what it is. Remember, as a farmer on these farm registration, you're limited to 48,000 pounds, and you're also limited to 150 square miles using that.
Doesn't matter what you carry, what it is. It's all about the weight.
Yes. Weight has a lot to do with a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got a phone call here, too, as well. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk.
When a school bus comes to a stop, how far back is the car in front of the school bus and behind the school bus supposed to be? How far back? You know, it ain't 20 feet, it ain't 10 feet, it's got to be, what, 50 feet or so?
I don't think they have a measurement on that.
You're supposed to stay so many feet behind that school bus when it comes to a stop.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how far it.
Yeah.
It's got to be a
kind of like a railroad track. A railroad track, you're not supposed to be closer than 15 feet or farther back than 50 feet.
When the caution lights on the school bus is activated, you don't know he's going to stop. So you got time to...
Well, that's with the 200 feet. So you know that within, 200 feet or probably maybe a little bit more.
Right.
I mean, I like to see them active. And that's what I'm saying. I like to see them activated, a little sooner than that. But
I understand it.
That gives everybody a chance to start braking where they're not slamming on the brakes.
Well,
I would say... I would have to double check to see if there is a actual distance that they require. I have not ever heard of one.
In some of these areas where it's less populated, when you get the holding traffic up, a lot of cars kind of want to get fairly close so they can pass the bus once they get loaded and on their way, you know?
Mm-hmm. I would say, I'm going to be at least... 50 feet sounds good to me. I mean, I'm going to throw that out there. 50 feet sounds good because I hate to say this. If, kids typically are low from the right, mm-hmm. and if they go across the road, what are they supposed to do?
Look both ways.
They're not going to go behind the bus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Front of the bus, yeah.
So, but I would allow distance just in case. You hope this don't happen to you, but if you got rear-ended, you're not slamming in the bus. But mm-hmm. you want to give them some room. I will double-check on that distance. But I have never had anybody or saw... I've seen any law, but maybe there's a good suggestion out there.
I would say
if 50 feet would not be unreasonable.
Well, I would say there is probably a distance in front of the bus and also in back of the bus that you need to keep back and front. Away from.
Because following too close is the sure, safe, clear distance where you will not be involved in an accident. Even following somebody, they don't have a distance. And the reason that changes, why they probably don't have a distance, is because your speed changes. You know, 30-mile roadway versus a 70-mile roadway, and some toll roads, 85-mile road. So as speeds go up, your distance of following should increase. Following distance, because it's going to take you what? It is going to take you longer to stop. You're going to cover more distance per second.
Yeah.
So you have to increase all that. So they don't even have a distance on that. It's the sure, safe, clear distance is what they have at the law. So I would say even following a bus, you need to apply that same rule.
Yeah. Well, let's see. A car is... I don't know, so many car lengths. When you're following a car, I believe, four or five car lengths on some speeds, you know. But anyway, check on this bus deal. Everybody needs to know, you know, how far back they ought to be, you know. Just being too close is not good either, you know. That kind of holds people back away from the bus in case there is something. That ain't quite right, you know.
Right. All right, we'll do some checking on that for you.
Hey, I certainly appreciate it.
All right, thank you for the call.
Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, there we go. And, I want to, real quick here, you had said something that kind of piqued my interest when you just kind of threw that line in about the railroad. You said no closer than 15 feet, but you said no further.
Than 50.
The 50. Now, there's a certain distance that you can't be away from a railroad track whenever... Mm-hmm. The yeah. train's going over?
Sure is.
Now, that's just for the initial car, or is that for everybody?
Lead car.
Lead car, okay. Yeah. So I was like, what if you get a line that's, you know...
Yeah, that's your lead car.
Because I've been in lines before railroad tracks, you know, it's like 20 cars.
Yeah, that's your lead car.
So mm-hmm. In between 15 and 50 feet. Now why is it 50 feet from the tracks? Is there a reason behind that, or just...
I mean, I can take a stab at it.
I just wondering.
You don't want to. I think that's just whatever they thought was reasonable to be away from the tracks. And if you get that lead car to 200 feet, I mean, then you got cars.
Yeah.
Where are they at now? I mean, not all approaches to railroad tracks are different. There's mm-hmm. nothing same. You have some. There's some that's right off the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it too far. Now you've stuck your car out in the other road that you're turning from. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just a safe distance that they have come up with where they'd like to vehicles be no closer than no farther.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was wondering. I never knew that. I mean, yeah. I've never parked that. I mean, stopped that far before, but I was just wondering, you know, that's kind of an odd thing to put in there. I guess they do it for a reason, right? We got a few minutes left in the show today. We have five minutes left today, so we're going to start winding things down real quick. So if you got questions, you need to get them in pretty quick today. We got less than 5 minutes left in the show today.
I guess I can finish up by kind of going, I think we're approaching, what, Labor Day
weekend? Yeah, it's going to be about 2 weeks away. I think it's the 7th? Yeah, 7th of September.
I may be back before then. But, you know, it's that time of year, again, like Everybody's through with their vacations. We've got school going on. Oh, we got another call?
Yeah, phone call real quick. Sure. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Yes, I was wondering, like on the double bale, round bale carriers,
yes, sir.
Are you required to have a permit from Austin to carry those down the highway or not?
Yes, if you're you have them side by side, if they, anything over 8.5 foot is required a permit in Texas. So that's why you have to have that, because usually the permit allow you up to 12 feet. So if you stack two of them next to each other, you're going to exceed the 8.5 foot. Now, I say that, I've seen different sizes of round bales. And certainly if you did the smaller bales or even the square bales and they don't exceed the 8.5 foot and you're on your trailer, you're good to go. I mean, because they do make different size cylinder bales, depending on what kind of whatever equipment you use or how heavy you want to or how big you want to make them. I guess you can control that. But anything over 8.5 foot, you're going to require that permit, and they'll give you that permit up to 12 feet on them cylinder bales.
Okay, and that is also a requirement on farm vehicles, too. There's no exemption on that, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you for your information. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you for the call once again. All right. There we go. Answering your questions, whatever you have. It's Labor Day.
Yes. You know, this time of year, everybody's getting back from vacation. It's just another day or another time of year that obviously the troopers are out. Mm-hmm. Whatever troopers we got here, you know, yeah. We're split now. We're down South Texas up here, whatever. Yeah. But maybe.
Well, they're still doing that Step Way program around here, too. So not just troopers, but mm-hmm. sheriffs and the local PD are out around here, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't think we ever stop focusing on impaired drivers.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do that 365.
Well, you should.
Now, we may have a few more troopers on during these periods mm-hmm. looking for them is really what it comes down to. And I think other agencies, whether it be some grant money that's been offered to put extra patrol units out, that typically what happens during these periods mm-hmm. Where we're telling people, hey, we're going to be out there. I mean, it's no secret. We're out there every day. But aggressive drivers, seat belts, these kind of things. And, you know, when I look at the three top reasons for crashes in Texas, and you can just probably across the U.S., distracted driving, speed, and the aggressive drivers. When I say aggressive, tailgaters and stuff like that. If we can work on them three and then having somebody secured, properly secured, we can get that fatality rate down even lower what it is. So we still got a lot of work to do, but that's where I'm at.
Everything you can, you know, save as many as you can. That's all you can do.
Right.
So. All right. Again, as always, if people want to contact you personally, if you have questions, they can do that by.
And somebody did that at 979-776-3147. And I forgot what the question was. One of your listeners.
Oh, really?
Called that office. And I answered whatever question he had. The number does. He can prove that the number does work.
See, there we go. That's why we put it out there. If people want to contact you.
Right. And my email address is jimmy.morgan@dps.texas.gov.
Or you can just, as always, just email me and we'll forward it off to him.
We tag team. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're here. We're here to work for you as best we can. What do we need to do? For Morgan, as always, thanks. Appreciate it
so
much. And that was Safety Talk once again. In a couple more weeks, I'll be back and have more questions answered for you here on KWHI in Brenham.